If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. And it's beautiful poetry. It's beautiful poetry. It is so beautiful. I don't think anyone could write better than this is written. This is so awesome. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he has delivered you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your feet against a stone. You shall tread on the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he has known my name. I want you to notice there the way that that sentence puts it. It says, because you have set your love on him. Because you have set your love on him. Therefore, he will deliver him. He will deliver you. Amen. And I will set him on high because he, you, have known his name. That's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome. Sometimes we read that, we might get it backwards, we might get it the other way. But he's talking about us setting our heart on him. Us loving, because I have loved him. Because I have turned my attention to him. Because he has become the main thing in my life. Then God, he's gonna have your back, amen? He's gonna take care of you. He's gonna watch over you. He's gonna guide and direct your path. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will testify, I will satisfy him. Amen. Amen. 269 beautiful, perfect words spoken from the heart of God. That's powerful, isn't it? We're going to break it down today. Psalms 91, as I said, has been one of the most popular psalms quoted. People memorize it. People write inscriptions on it. Even find it on tombstones in some graveyards, right? But just because it's so familiar doesn't mean that we have the revelation of it. Just because we can quote it, just because it's something very poetic, and just even saying it, it lifts you up. Doesn't it lift you up? Just even hearing it quoted, it lifts you up. But what is he actually saying to us in this psalm? And that's what we're going to get into today. Some might get the impression in reading it that if I become a follower of Yeshua, all my troubles will evaporate, right? You might think that by reading that. He says it, right? It says he's going to deliver you. You're going to trample on cobras and lions and, you know, they might get the impression, I will not have to deal with sickness. I won't have to deal with any more problems or sorrows of any kind. And like the Lego movie star, everything is awesome, right? But we know for a fact that coming to Christ didn't make everything awesome. My friends turned away from me. My family thought I was crazy. And I entered a life of service to God and others that often brought sorrow, often brought heartbreak, you know? Am I preaching to anybody in here today? So what is God trying to communicate to us through this psalm? I just want to take a minute and just say, let's let the Holy Spirit reveal something to us. Amen? Let's just take this time right now and just let the Holy Spirit of God show us something today. And let's just ask Him right now. Would you pray with me? Lord, I just pray right now. Lord, as You so graciously spoke to my heart this morning, Lord, and as everything in this service already leading up to this moment and time right now where I get to share those words that You spoke to my heart about today, Lord, Lord, I pray that You would implant that, Lord, into our hearts today, Lord God, that we would walk out of here, Lord, lifted up, Lord, we'd walk out of here, Lord, with a new sense, Lord, of the presence of God in our life, Lord God, and Lord, that we would make You, Lord, our abode, Lord, that we would make You, Lord, not just the place that we come to when trouble hits, Lord, when heartbreak comes, Lord, when sorrows nail us, Lord God, but You would be the place that we dwell in. Lord, You would be the place of our habitation, oh God. And Lord, we just thank You today, Lord. We just praise You, Lord. We thank You for what You're doing in our fellowship, Lord. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for those souls that came into the kingdom last Sunday, Lord. Lord, I just think of Alexa and Terry, Lord, and their precious children, Lord, that came forward, Lord God, and others, Lord, that came forward, Lord, and Lord, they received Your word, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Lord, for all of those who were touched, Lord God, last Sunday, Lord, God, that You'd do such a work in their life, Lord God. Lord, that the old is gone and the new has come, Lord, and there would be a new desire in their hearts, Lord. Lord, that message of transformation, Lord, would just, Lord, be sealed in their hearts, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank You for what You're doing, Lord. Lord, now do another new thing in each one of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So let's break this psalm down today. The first part of the psalm, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Would you just say that last verse, that verse 2 with me? Let's say it together. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Amen. He's our refuge, folks. He's our fortress. He's our secret place. He's our abiding place. This psalm reveals the voice of God calling every one of His children to enter into His presence. You know that? God wants us to enter in. He wants us to enter into His presence. He wants us to not just have that as a visitation, not just have that as a place that we go to when we're in trouble or we're going through hardships or difficulties, but that we walk in that place. We abide in that place. Amen? That we're looking forward to the presence of God. When we get up in the morning, that we're seeking the presence of God. Lord, I want Your presence with me today. I want You with me all day long. I want You to, Lord, teach me. I want You to direct. I want You to speak. I want to have ears that hear what the Spirit is saying to me today, Lord. I want to know You better. Amen. I know that place. I know many of you know that place. You know that secret place that I'm talking about. I've been there in good times and I've been there in bad. There's been times I've been driving down the road and all of a sudden the presence of the God would just flood that car and I would just begin to sing and weep and sing and laugh. Have you ever just laughed in the presence of God and just, God's got a great sense of humor, you know that? I know He's got a great sense of humor because He made Romero. But but He's got a great, I mean, it's so good to be around the presence of God. Amen? I've been there in times when I've just been beat up. And ministry sometimes will beat you up, you know. I pray that never happens here. Praise God. I know our pastor's been through it. They've been through it. They know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've been through it. Maybe you got church hurt. Maybe something didn't work out for you where you were at. But you can get beat up in church. And sometimes those are like the worst wounds ever, you know. It takes a while to get healed up from that. But those are times to cry out to God and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I've been there. I know that. There's times when I've been wounded by a friend, a close brother, or a family member. Those times hurt, you know. And that's when we cry out to God. Say, God, I need you, Lord. I need your healing touch, Lord. I need the words to say to help restore this thing that's going on. And times when I've been in physical pain, to the degree that the Lord reminded me that the pain that he endured. Have you ever been there? Ever been that kind of pain where you can associate yourself with the suffering of Christ? Not to say that was equal to it, but I'm just saying when we go through pain, physical pain, emotional pain, we can associate with what Jesus suffered at Calvary, and it brings us a little bit closer. Amen? Those are times to cry out to the Lord. Times to seek the Lord. Times when I struggled financially. Has anybody ever been there? I know y'all don't struggle with that, but Heather and I have many times where we were at the end of what we had for that month, and it was the first week. Can you associate with that? We didn't know how we were going to pay that next bill, didn't know how we were going to make it through, and we cried out to the Lord, and God answered, right? He answered so many times. Times and financial struggles, times in my marriage. Now, I know you're not going to believe this, but Heather and I had times where it was hard. You know, we didn't know we were going to make it. But we always did make it because the Lord Jesus was the three-cord strand. He was the strand that held us both together, amen? And you got to have that three-cord strand. Right, Melanie and Asher? You got to have that working in your life. There were times when there was, I remember when Suzanne, our adopted teenage daughter that came into our own, had cancer at a very young age, and I was by her bedside praying for her last moments. Very hard, needed the presence of God in that place when I was with her. And so many times I've been to this special, wonderful secret place. The secret place is God's personal invitation to the Holy of Holies, not for a mere visit, but a place of permanent rest. Amen. The secret place is not a place to visit. It's a place to live. It's a place to abide in. It's for the believer. It's our home. That place, if we can make it our home, we can make it our permanent residence. Lord, I'm not a renter. Lord, I'm a buyer. I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to do all I can in being an investor and being a part of your kingdom. I'm going to put my whole self into this. Amen. I think you guys can associate yourself the difference between being a renter and a buyer. I think sometimes Christians can be renters. I want you, God, when I need you, but when I don't need you, I got this, right? I got this on my own. And I want to tell you something. You don't got this. You need him. Amen? The secret place is a place where he gives us strength. He gives us hope. He gives us a promise of a future. He speaks words of life to us that goes all the way down, deep down into the bones of who we are, becoming a part of who we are. It's a secret place. He does that work in us. It is the place open to us. according to the scripture through a new and living way. In Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23. There it is. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23. He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. The holiest. Think of that. Having boldness to enter the holiness. Holiest place. And God gave us that picture in the Old Testament of that holy of holies. He said, you have boldness now through the blood of Jesus by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When Moses was told to build that tabernacle in the wilderness, he was instructed by God to make it after the pattern which was in heaven. In those days, most, if not all, the worship was done not in the tabernacle. It was done in the courtyard. The Hebrew children were outside the tabernacle in the courtyard, and they worshiped the Lord. And they could experience the daily sacrifice, the new moon sacrifices, the Sabbath sacrifices. We're reading through Numbers right now, right? All those were revealed to us. They could watch the priest prepare the sacrifices and give the sacrifices up. They could watch the priest washing themselves in the bronze laver and preparing themselves to go into the holy place and to present themselves before the Lord and to minister before the lampstand and the table of showbread and the ark of incense, the altar of incense in there, and they would do their ministry in there. But the common people were not allowed to go in there. It was a priestly job to take care of that. And then, as you know, one time a year, the high priest would go in there and he would offer the blood on the ark of the covenant of God. And that was it. That was the holy of holies that he was able to go in one time a year on Yom Kippur and present the blood before God that would cover and atone for the children of Israel. So in looking at that, for the most part, it was off limits to the people. And so they experienced God through the experience of someone else. That's kind of sad, isn't it? To have your faith in someone who has the privilege to experience God. But you were left in the outer court. You know, this is what it was. But I want to tell you something, not a lot has changed because we still have believers that are depending upon the experiences of other believers who enter into the holy place and experience God. When God invites us all, he invites us all to come in, right? He wants us all to come in and to experience and encounter his goodness, his graciousness, his power, his anointing. He wants us all to come in. How do we do that? How do we enter in? How do we come into the presence of God? We do it by faith. This is truth. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit. The Lord reveals to us by the Holy Spirit how we come in, how we enter into his presence, how we come in and enjoy him. How is it that we make it a burden to experience and encounter God? And we don't delight ourselves in coming in and entering in. And God would have us to delight ourselves in coming in and entering into his presence. Amen? Such a privilege. If we look back in time and we look that back before Jesus' atonement on Calvary, that only a select individual once a year could come in and enter in, where God says, now the curtain is rent in two, the door is open, I want you to come in. And we make it complicated difficult, hard, but it's a joy, amen? I love this church because when we come and worship together, it just seems like there's always the presence of God in this place. Can you say amen? Can you testify today, amen? It's wonderful. And when we have such a great, wonderful group of people that want to enter in, and we want to be hungry for the things of God, and we want to desire Him, that becomes like a magnet for other people to come in and enter in. Amen? But what a joy. And it's through the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord, who fulfilled the Old Testament promise made by God Himself, saying that this old sacrificial system would be fulfilled and a new covenant would be made with both houses of Israel, Jew and Christian. And I want you to hear for yourself the heart of God towards you. Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34, it reads, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." So the Lord is literally telling us that this time would come, and it came when Jesus gave Himself as our atoning sacrifice. And He said, like Pastor was preaching last Sunday, I love that message last Sunday about the transformation that God wants to bring about in our lives. God is writing His words on our heart. Never before had my mind conceived the things of God until my life had been transformed by the power of God. Well, I was drawn to Him then. I loved when I didn't love before. I thought things differently. I saw things differently. God revolutionized my life. He changed my heart. He put a desire, a hunger for righteousness. Amen? Do you hunger for righteousness? Do you hunger to be like Jesus? Amen? He is the plumb line. He is the one that we measure ourselves to. And guess what? I always come up wanting. Lord, I want to be more like You. Amen? I want to be like You, Lord. Help me, Jesus. And you know, I've come a ways, but I ain't come all the way. And Paul said that too. He said, I have not fully come to that place yet, but I press on to the goal of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. He goes on to say in the next chapter, chapter 32, verse 40, he says this, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from their doing good, and I will not turn away from doing good to them, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them and do good to them." God is speaking to you about that. God is saying to you today, I want to do good to you. I want to be good to you. I want to rejoice over you. Amen? That the Lord is saying that to us. How awesome is that? That's precious, isn't it? God's heart towards those who love Him is to do good to them. He gives us that invitation to enter His presence by faith, to abide in Him. Us in Messiah, Yeshua, and Christ in God sees us in Him, covered and protected and blessed. When I was a young man, and Heather and I got radically saved back in a little Baptist church in Mesa, Arizona. We didn't know nothing. But a man came from North Carolina, and they had these things where they would send lay ministers all over the country. And they would come from one part of the country to another part of the country, and they would stay with people within the church who would want them to stay with them. And Heather and I would put them up. We wanted to glean from them. We were like sponges. We wanted all we could get from people who'd been around the Lord for a while, you know. And this one man, I'll never forget him. I spent 1 week with him Have I told you this story before? Oh, I'll tell it again. Anyways, his name was Tom Allen. I'll never forget him. I'll never forget Tom. He had a press in his house that he made these little stick men. It was just a very simple little design. And so he would go, and we would go tell people about Jesus. We'd knock on doors and witness for the Lord. You know, we weren't trying to get him to come to our church, or we were just trying to get the gospel to people. And so he would hold this little black man up, and he said, this does not represent the color of your skin. This represents your condition before God. And he said, before God, we are born in iniquity. We are sinful. We are sinful. And this is what God sees. He sees our sinfulness, and our sinfulness separates us from him. But then he had this other little man, and it was red. And he'd lay this red man over the top of the black man. And he says, this red man represents Jesus Christ. And he'd lay it over the top of that black man. And he would say, this is how God sees you when you've been made right with him. And I want to tell you something. When God says he wants to rejoice over you, he's not lying. He's not a man that he would lie, because what he sees is he sees his son in perfect obedience and in righteousness laid over the top of our lives. Amen. And he sees us righteous and holy. And that's why we can enter into the holiest place, the most holy place, with boldness and worship and praise and glorify our God. Can you say amen? Is that not good news? And he bids us to come. He wants us to come. Not as a visitor. Not just when we're in trouble. Not just when we're facing difficult times. Not when we're just wounded and hurt. He wants us to make it our habitation. Amen. Lord, this is where I want to be forever. Lord, this is where I want this, Lord. I want this. And then I just want us to have that hunger, that desire for God. There's no limit to him. You're never going to exhaust him. You're never going to get the t-shirt. I know him, right? You might know him, but there's so much more to know of him. Amen. There's so much more. You'll never exhaust him. He always has new things for his kids. I'm telling you. New things to show you. New things to teach you. New things to set you free from. Amen? Sometimes it takes a whole lifetime to sort through all the stuff. Right? Sometimes what you did back in high school doesn't come up until you're 40 years old, or 50 years old, or 60 years old. And God is saying, I still want to remove that, and I want to put this in. Amen? I want to heal that. I want to touch that. I want to restore that so that you can glorify him, so you can become more like Jesus, more like our Savior. Amen? Oh, God is good. So we need to see ourselves entering into that throne room, that holy of holies, by faith, clothed in righteousness, enjoying his favor, right? Drawing near to him, getting closer to him. That's good stuff. The second part of this psalm, I want to read verses 3 through 13 again. It says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Amen. Let's just say, Lord, I want you to be my dwelling place. Amen. Would you say that with me? Lord, I want you to be my dwelling place. Hallelujah. We have made him. Lord, I want to make you my dwelling place. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample under your feet. The challenges, let's see, it is not saying that we will never have problems or face the challenges of life or experience sorrow or heartache. Scripture always interprets Scripture, right? So when you read Psalms and you read these portions where he's just going to deliver you, he's going to save you, he's going to do all this, but then you also know that all the apostles went through stuff, right? That Jesus went through stuff. Moses and Joseph and all of the patriarchs, they all went through stuff. So we know that it's just not like a free pass, that everything's not just going to be easy for the believer, right? In fact, we could probably testify that things got harder when we came to faith in the Lord because we put on a big old bullseye on our chest when we became a believer, right? And the enemy, knowing that he couldn't take Jesus out of you, he wanted to keep you from bearing testimony to him. Amen? And steal your witness. Steal the power of God working through your life. Cripple you. Mess you up so you just weren't able to bear witness to Christ. And that's what he does. He tries to steal us from us and rob us. But the Lord is telling us that he is the supplier of everything, and we need to go through whatever we must go through, that he will supply everything that we need to get through it. Amen? He's the supplier. But here's our problem. We make God our visitation instead of our habitation. I want to tell you right now how often I wished I could have asked him first or searched out his word for answers or just waited on him. But I got impatient and I thought, I can handle this. Lord, thank you for all you've done, but I can handle this, right? Have you ever been there, done that? And the truth is, we can't handle it. And we don't take advantage of letting God be our dwelling place, whereby every decision goes through him. Could you say that? Could you do that? Could you let every one of your decisions be passed through the ear of God to lift it up before him? To ask him to touch it, bless it, reveal anything that he wants to reveal to you before you move into that situation? Is it okay to go? Is it okay to press forward in this, Lord? Can you show me? To bring everything before him, lay it all before him? The older I get, the more I realize how important that is. Instead, we go on our own way. We try to overcome without overcoming power. Am I speaking to anybody in here? We think foolishly how we can handle it. What a joke that is. I think of so many blunders that I got myself into thinking I can handle this. I got a word only later to discover I got the wrong word because I didn't make God's presence my habitation. I would have been more alert. I would have had my ears more wide open had I made him my habitation, my dwelling place. I'm just confessing my sins before my brothers that I might be healed, y'all. You don't just need God when you're in trouble. You need him always and forever. Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, apart from him, we can do nothing. And he meant it. All our works and all of our good intentions are nothing more than filthy rags to him. We need him Just like we sang today, we need him. We need him. And we must deal with this issue. My biggest problem is not God upholding his side of the covenant. My problem is this: am I willing to make God my hiding place, my dwelling place? Or as Paul put it in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen? Laying it all on the line. Paul was a man who dealt with that issue. I want to ask you, what wonders would open up to each one of our lives if we could resolve that? What miracles, what signs, what wonders would open up to the church? What waves of new believers would flock into our churches if that became our resolve? It would be miraculous. Could you agree with me? That God would move so powerfully. There's a yearning inside, and we're hungry for what we don't even know what. And I'll tell you, I am personally hungry to see the church become like the church in the first century, where their lives, they were so willing to lay down their lives, where they didn't care about their lives. All that they cared about was what would bring glory and honor and praise to God. It doesn't do any good to blame the church. I only need to look at myself. But I see in myself even, there's too much other stuff. There's too much other stuff. Too much other stuff other than God. Pleasures, food, drinks, entertainment. And we're soon becoming, I don't know if you've looked at the statistics lately, but American people are some of the most discouraged, depressed, drug addicted people in the world. And we have everything. We're the most wealthy, most blessed people in the world. But what we need is we need the living waters that Jesus told the Samaritan woman, if you drink from it, it will become a fountain welling up inside of you unto everlasting life. That's what he has for us. He has the rivers of life. When I was in Israel, I was so blown away. We got to go into that place. Hezekiah's tunnel. Hezekiah in his day created a tunnel that would bring the waters from the springs of Gihon. Guess what Gihon means in the Hebrew? It means living water. Living water. Hezekiah brought the living water down into the pool of Siloam. It's awesome. You can go through this tunnel, and it was all carved out by hand, and you walk through that tunnel, and you see all the markings on the side of the wall where they dug out through solid rock this tunnel. It's tall. It's about this tall. Some places I bumped my head on. But it's amazing. But it's a picture of the springs that God wants to well up in our life, that well up into everlasting life. It's never, and he said, if you drink of this, you're not going to want anything else but this. Amen? They would take that fresh water, and it would be the pool of Siloam that it would come into, and then all the pilgrims that came three times a year to Jerusalem would wash themselves in that river, and then they'd make about the, I guess, 2 mile or 1 mile walk uphill all the way up to the Temple Mount. And you know, they brought fresh water from the Gihon Springs every day all the way up to the temple, because that was the place where people could get a drink, a refreshing drink, or they could wash themselves while they were worshiping God in the temple. And when I think about that, I just think of all the attention that it took to maintain the spring and to make sure that you were attending to that water. And there's some things in our own life that we need to attend to maintain that those refreshing springs of life that God wants to bring to each and every one of us. Amen? So we're not getting ministry burnt out or turning our focus to other things, that we keep a fresh perspective on what God is wanting to do in each of our lives for our daily walk with Him. Can you say amen? That's so awesome. And that's what we need. We get so busy in life, we don't learn to enjoy the presence of God. We make it too complicated. We turn it into rituals. We make it burdensome instead of making it our delight. Lord, I just want to delight myself in You, Lord. I just want to spend time with You. I just want to worship You, Lord. Think about if we treated our loved ones that way. If I had to have a discipline of talking to my wife, right? That would be laughable. I'm going to make sure I spend at least 30 minutes with you today, Heather, because it's my duty. Right? That would be laughable, right? I'm gonna spend at least 2 days just focusing on you, Heather. She's starving for my attention. That would be crazy, wouldn't it, to even think like that? But that's the way we think. Man, I'm just going to, we just make it too burdensome. We make it too hard for ourselves instead of just delighting in the Lord. Just put your delight on Him, right? The psalmist says, as the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs after Him. Amen? Lord, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want You. I need You. I want to delight myself in You, Lord. And guess what? It's a good way. It's a good way, as the Bible says, where you find rest for your soul. And there's a place where God calls us out, not out of presumptuous thought. He calls us out onto the waters like He called Peter out onto the waters. Come. To be that person, that individual that we can't be on our own. Amen? He calls it out. He's saying, I have something for you. I'm going to do some transforming work in your life to be something that you can't be on your own. It's like me and Him, right? It's like me and Him together being something that I could never be. Amen? And it is amazing. And it brings glory and honor to God. Hallelujah. I get excited just thinking about it. And there's men and women here today that God is calling you out. And you can't even imagine what the Lord has in store for you. It may seem dangerous to you, but I want to tell you, life without God is dangerous. Amen? Life without Him, life when you think you got this, is dangerous. Life when you think you can handle it is dangerous. Amen? But living with God in His presence and walking with Him is exciting. And it looks dangerous. Amen? But I'd rather do it with Him than trying to do it on my own. Amen? Daniel said this in Daniel 11:32, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. You know, I can't carry out great exploits, but He can carry out great exploits through me. Amen? And He can do great exploits through you. Am I going too long? We good? When Jesus was facing execution by crucifixion, He was asked by Pilate, don't you know I have the power to pardon you or to crucify you? And Jesus said to him, you have no power except that which has been given to you from heaven. And I want to tell you something. Nothing can harm you. God is in complete control of your life. When you are walking with Him, it doesn't matter where He sends you or what He tells you to do. Only what is within His will can happen to you. Can you say amen? And that's what Jesus was saying to Pilate that day. He's saying, the only power you have is what God allows you to have. So Jesus knew He had to go to the cross, complete the mission for what He was sent to do. That was to die for the sins of the world so that God could reckon man to Himself. He knew that God would raise him up. And as a man, Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered, thereby glorifying God through His obedience and showing us the way to God's presence. Does that make sense to you this morning? This afternoon? Jesus, the Messiah, it says in Hebrews, learned obedience through what He suffered, and thus glorifying God in what He did. And this is what brings the presence of God so near and dear to us, is when we're willing to say, God, I will go where You tell me to go, and I will do what You tell me to do, and I will say what You tell me to say. I want to be led by Your Spirit. I want to do what You direct me to do. Only, Lord, show me. Reveal it to me. Let me know what You want to do, Lord. And this is what brings glory to God. Amen? This is what blesses Him, a heart that is like that, willing and obedient to serve Him. The Lord is saying, you come to me in full assurance of faith, with complete confidence in the Father's good intentions for you and your family and your church, and trust Him enough to make Him your abiding place, your home, your dwelling place. And when you can do that, nothing can stop you from fulfilling God's purposes and bringing glory to Him. Amen? The third part of this is verse 13 through 16. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he has known my name. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is God speaking to us. Amen? That he will keep his end of the covenant. You don't have to worry about that. He's gonna uphold his part of that. And all we have to do is be willing to be that vessel that he can flow through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeshua said in John 16, 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This psalm is not a promise of trouble-free life, but it is a promise that if we walk with God, we will have victory. Amen? And He will always be with us. It is a promise of His ultimate victory over our greatest enemies, sin and death and the devil. I don't know about you, but living in this world with everyday threat of another outbreak of a deadly disease or economic collapse or fall of the civil society or nuclear annihilation, I want God to brand this psalm into my heart. I never want to forget His good intentions toward me. With all these threats all around us, He says, I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be worried. I got this. God says that. I got this. Amen? So where is your attack coming from? Where are you being attacked? Is it because you're where God wants you to be? Walking with Him, abiding in His presence, in full assurance of faith and confidence in Him, trusting in Him, knowing that He has good intentions for you, and therefore you're being attacked? Because everyone who walks like Jesus walked, guess what? There's a tax coming, right? And we need to accept that and respond to it in the way that the Lord would have us to respond to it. So where's your attack coming from? Or are you finding yourself outside of God's will, trying to do things on your own? Have you forgotten where your source of provision and strength comes from? Have you forgotten your secret place, your dwelling place? Have you gotten too busy? I'm guilty. I'm preaching to myself. You all got to go home. I'm going to finish this sermon, just preach to myself. And now I'm going to get down here on the altar. Just. Have you gotten too busy? Have you forgotten your secret place? Has social media taken up more time than simply drawing near to God? I'm here today to remind you this. It is the Lord who is your life now. You need Him just as much as when you first believed. It is the Lord who supplies your needs, and He will fulfill your life. It is a good way where you find rest for your soul, and He will take you through whatever you got to go through, and you need not be afraid. Yes, bad things will happen to good people. Sickness comes and goes. Couples sometimes lose their little one. Loved ones pass away sometimes painfully. Heartaches tear at your soul. Wickedness abounds all around us. We see the effects of sin and death in the news every day. But know this, He is our everlasting hope. And in Him, in the end, we will overcome. Amen. Through Christ who conquered for us, He has already made the way, and He has already overcome. And we just need to look to Him and trust Him. So let us take all our cares, all of our concerns, all of our worries, all of our fears, day by day, into the presence of the Lord. Can you say amen? Let's bring it all to Him. Bring it all to Him. Bring it all to Him every day, Lord. Let us dwell in His presence day by day. Let us be filled again and again and again by the Holy Spirit. And all this is available to you. Would you stand? I love you, Lord. I love your presence, Lord. I want to be with you, Lord. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry for righteousness. I'm hungry for truth. I'm hungry to know the way. I'm hungry, Lord, to know what your will is for my life, what your plan is, Lord. I'm hungry. My desire is for you, Lord. I have this this old song, I don't know if any of you remember it. You're all so young in here. But it's called, it was written by C.B. Widmer, who must have learned the lesson that I'm sharing with you today. And it's the song is called Come and Dine, the Master Calls. And I won't burden you with my singing, but I do want to read it because it has a good message to it. And it goes like this. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He does feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. And then it goes, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned the water into wine to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come and dine. And there He found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry all the time. And then the third verse goes like this: soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and Jesus, they will feast eternally. The Lord has a table spread for you. And he bids us to come and dine with him, fellowship with him, know him, you know. And I just pray today that you have a hunger for what God has for you, brothers and sisters. That you will not wander from what he has for you. That you will bring all of your burdens, all of your cares, all of your sorrows and worries to the Lord. Amen. And fellowship with him. Sister, will you lead us? I want to just invite anybody who wants to just come forward and receive prayer to do that. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there are times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I know there's times that I was so discouraged, so down, so brokenhearted, and the Lord touched me. The Lord answered my cry. He answered my prayer. And I'll tell you today that I don't just want a one-time visitation experience from the Lord, but I want a daily abiding walk with Jesus. Amen. I want to be filled up and filled up and filled up, and every day come before the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, clean this vessel. Wash me out. I'm tainted, Lord. I'm dirty. I need you, Lord. Cleanse my heart. Lord, put your desires and thoughts within me. Amen. I have a desire for you, but I want to have more desire for you, more desire for your word, more desire for your truth, more desire for your presence. Lord, I want you and I need you. And if you can say that, if you can get that out, God will supply the rest. Amen. If you can say, Holy Spirit, I need your fullness. I need your filling. I need your anointing on my life, Lord. I know I'm a dirty vessel. I know, Lord, I don't measure up. But, Lord, if you can do something with me, I want you to do something with me, and I want you to do it, Lord, real soon.